The sermon title today is No Room Part 5. Can you believe this? This is the fourth message that we've gone on this subject, and the title of this today is The Art of Temptation. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse you're very familiar with. We've been to it almost every week. So we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 15 through 19 this morning. In verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves." Are you living for yourself today, or are you living for the Lord Jesus? "But for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though that we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." In verse 18, that we are reconciled to God, by God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? He gave his own son so you could be reconciled to him, because the only way that you can be reconciled with the Father, the only way that you can have a relationship with the Father, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. God made it possible for us to be reconciled, brought into a right relationship with him, through the only begotten of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. People will say, "Well, I know God, I believe in God." But then you turn around and if you ask them, but do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Many times their comment will be, "Well, I don't see that that's really necessary, but I know who God is." If you have not confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot know God. Because that's what the scripture says. And if you don't know God, let me tell you something. You do not know Jesus. In verse 17, remember last week, we are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. We are not renewed. We're not rebuilt. We're not renovated. We're not reformed. We're not rehabilitated. We are a brand new creation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 16, it says that one time you knew him in the flesh, but you know him no longer. I know him by his Spirit that dwells within my life because of accepting Jesus Christ. I now have the indwelling of his Spirit in my life. No longer do I live by my standards. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. No longer do I live by my standards, but by the truths of God's word." In verse 17 it says, "Old things, my old nature, my old way of doing things have all passed away. And I walk in the newness of life that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't walk in my old nature, I walk in my new nature. Because of my new life in Christ, I am now led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God." Now listen, in all things, I'll say that again. In all things, I am led by the Spirit of God and I am led by the Word of God. Not just in some things, but in all things. Look at your bulletin in Psalms 119, verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to" what? It's a light to my path. The NLT says it this way: "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet." My choices in life are guided by the word of God. My direction in life is guided by the word of God. What does that mean? It means my marriage is guided by scripture. It means my relationships with others is guided by Scripture. It means my choices, my decisions in life, my response to others is guided by Scripture. God does not save us with the cost of his very own son so we can freelance our Christian walk. And today, many Christians are freelancing. Well, I think I should do this. I think I should do this over here. They don't take time to pray about it. They don't get the leading of the Holy Spirit. They don't turn their life to the Word of God. They think that they know best. Well, what does the Scripture say? We do not lean into our own understanding, but bring our thoughts, as the Scripture says, in captive to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, we are not freelancers, we're Christians, and we're walking in the truth of the Scripture led by the Spirit of God. Well, I think this, well, I think that. I don't care what you think. You don't care what I think. I want to know what the Word of God says about this situation. So that brings us back to the last few weeks. Satan's temptation is to see if there is daylight between you and the Word of God. So let me ask you, in your marriage, in your relationship with others, in your business dealings, in your thought life, the things that you view on TV or on your telephone, in all of these things, or any or all of them, is there daylight between you and the Word of God in those situations? Are you being led by the Spirit, or are you being led by the flesh? Now turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to go to James chapter 1, and we're going to leave there briefly, but we're going to come back to it. And I tell you that because if you want to save your place in the Bible, you can, because sometimes James can be a little hard to find. But if you turn to James chapter 1 and go to verse 12, it says this: Blessed is the man or woman who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full growth, brings forth death. In verse 13, it brings out that no one can say that they are tempted by God. Satan is the tempter. He's the tester. The temptation that we face is not ever brought to us by God. He may allow temptation, and sometimes there's a reason that he allows temptation as a tester, to see if we're going to stay true to the Word of God, and also for growth in our life through our relationship. So Satan is a tempter, he's a tester, seeing if there's daylight. It's always about this. He's always wanting to see if there's daylight between you and the Word of God in that situation. Whatever the situation is, I don't care what you compare it to. We remember that we talked about last week, you don't have a spiritual life, and now you also have a personal life. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you have a Christian walk, and that walk involves and it encompasses every aspect of your life. So if it's encompassing every aspect of my life, and I'm supposed to walk in adherence to the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God, what does he want to see if there is in between me and the Word? He wants to see if there's a place for temptation. He wants to see if there's light in between. Just like we talked about in Jesus' temptation in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. It was not only about, it's very easy to see that he wanted to see if Jesus would be tripped up, if Jesus would sin. He wanted to see if there was daylight between him and the Word of God. And what did Jesus do? He not only withstood or resisted the temptation, he defeated that temptation. How? How do you defeat temptation? By the Word of God. Satan's temptations are controlled. We want to talk about this just for a little bit. Satan's temptations are controlled and limited by God. Now save your place in James, but go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So we go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. We go down to verse 12. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So no one can say, I'm above temptation. It'll never happen in my life. You can't trip me up. Nope, I'm so one-on-one with God, there's nothing could ever happen. What does the scripture said? Take heed, lest you fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is what? He is faithful. So you're never going to experience anything in life that somebody else has not experienced and overcame through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So what does that tell us? It tells us that temptation is limited and it is controlled by the Lord God Almighty. Even though he's not the tempter, he's going to restrict it and he limits it to what we can bear through the leading of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Word of God. Now go back with me to James chapter 1. So we go back to James chapter 1 verse 14. James 1 verse 14, and it says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. What does that tell you? There's daylight there, isn't there? Your own desires, the desires of the flesh. You're drawn away by your own desires and enticed because there's daylight between you and the Word of God and that situation. He goes on to say, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So Satan is a tempter in that area of your life. He sees daylight between you and the Word. In verse 15, temptation, listen, temptation is not a sin, is it? We all will be tempted, but is there daylight between us and the Word that in that area of our life that could give way to sin? Come on, and we all know what they are. I don't have to tell you what they are. You're sitting right there right now, and the Lord's speaking to your heart right now. Boom. Isn't he? Isn't it amazing how God does it? You know, I've preached sermons before, and the next week somebody will come back, and they'll say, man, I was so amazed by that sermon. You talked about this and this and this, and God just ministered to me in that way, and I didn't even talk about that. That's the Holy Spirit. He divides severally as he will. As he goes out to the congregation, he ministers to the need that is in your life. If there's daylight between you and the Word of God, and there's an area in your life that brings a caution to you that you need to be careful of, the Holy Spirit has brought it to your mind right now, today. You know all of them. The question is, in the art of temptation, this is where we want to go today. How does Satan know where to push that button? He knows it, doesn't he? He knows the button you have in your life. You ever had that with your wife or your husband, depending on where you're. I'll tell you what, nobody can make me mad. You can say that. Nobody can make me mad in this congregation. I'll tell you what, in a heartbeat, Carol can reach right in and she can push that button. She said, it's a God thing. I can't help it. We all know that. Well, Satan does the same thing. He knows right where to reach inside of you and push that temptation button. How does he know that? Number one, he throws mud on the wall and he sees if something will stick. Has he ever done that with you? Never thought in your mind that you would ever think about it, do it, or even be enticed by it, and he'll throw it on the wall. And he'll see if you'll take a look at it. Number two, he has a demonic network that he brings, and the demonic that is traveling this world, seeing you, seeing the things in the world where he can bring temptation, that people will be trapped into sin. Is that true? Absolutely, it's true. Turn with me to Job chapter 1, because we see the same thing happen to Job. So you go to Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 is really awesome to read. You should read it later on today. Verse 6, it says, now when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? But now listen to what the adversary says. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. So you tell me, you answer the question, did the accuser know who Job was? He knew him because he had been watching him. In your faith, in your life that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ, the adversary knows you very well because he's been watching you. He also knows the buttons that sometimes he can push on us to we see whether we're tempted or not. God allows that temptation to show that there is no daylight between us and the Word of God, and that we love God so much that we are not going to fall to that temptation, but we are going to stay true to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when he said to Peter, he says, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. And what did he say at the end? When you are done, I want you to come back and strengthen the brethren. You face temptation so it strengthens your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ because you stay true to the Word, and not only that, because you experience it and because you have walked through it, you can be an encouragement to other people that are going through the same thing. So we see that most certainly that Job knew who God was. Now listen to me, because we brought this out last week. We're getting close to the end. Only God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. Satan is not. He is seemingly so. How is he seemingly so? By his demonic network that feeds information to him. He's not all-knowing. He only knows what you tell him. He only knows what you are showing in your life. Look at verse 6 and 7. So verse 6, it says this. Now there's a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan who came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth in it. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And Satan says, well, the only reason he does that is because you've taken care of him, because you have blessed him. He personally knew what Job stood for. So in our lives, he sees vulnerable areas that his demons pass on also, as well, vulnerable areas in our life that we can be tempted. So that leads us to number three. You remember what number one was? Number one was he throws things on the wall to see if something's going to stick. Number two, he has a demonic network that feeds information to him to let him know where we are able to be tempted at. Number three, what we tell him and what we show him. That's how he knows where to tempt you. He knows if there's daylight between you and the Word of God by what we do, what we say, and what we are involved in. So what daylight lies between you and the Word of God? In what you area are you involved in, or what you say makes a big impact on who you are? It's very important. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 45. We're almost done. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, because we got to get to communion. You know, I never practice my sermons. I never time them. I never do anything. But when you look on the web, they're always right at 20 minutes, every one. God always amazes me. Evidently, he also knows how much you wouldn't take any more of me, so... In John chapter 6, verse 45, it says this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Now listen to the words. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to be, if you want to be tempted with gossip, start gossiping. If you want to be tempted of a critical spirit of others, then start being critical. You want to strengthen your marriage, start speaking to how much you love someone rather than how much they disappoint you. Right now, it's crunch time as pastors. It's important what we say because we tell the adversary where there's daylight between us and the Word of God. You can tell it's crunch time in Carol and I's life because we're on the verge, right on the verge of the school starting and moving over there, finishing up, and we got a long ways to go to finish up, and there's still more activities that need to be done before we are all done with the building project. Do you think, let me ask you, brother and sister, do you think that I should walk around saying, oh Lord, I can't take it anymore, Lord, you're going to have to do something, I'm going to have to quit, I'm going to have to retire, I can't do this anymore. And you probably say, no, Leo, you shouldn't be saying, but this is what I do say, and I'll tell you this today. This is what I go around saying. I am God called, I'm in the middle of God's mission, and I am indestructible. Amen. That shows the adversary because I tell him. See, it's not only important sometimes that you read the word quietly to yourself, but also that you read the word aloud. Tell the adversary where you stand and who you are, and there's no daylight between you and God, and there's no daylight between you and the Word. You're going to stand true to the Scripture. If I show no daylight between me and the Word, does that mean I will never be tempted? Well, I have to answer this at the end. No, it does not. But every time I show no daylight between me and the Word, Satan has to back off and his attacks lessen. Do you get it? I got it. Don't show him any daylight. You show that you are going to stay true to the Word of God no matter what takes place in your life, because Satan, you might as well back off. Isn't that what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4? You might as well back off because I am not going to take any part of this. And what happened? The angels come to strengthen him. The Lord wants to strengthen you. There's no attack or temptation that is uncommon to man, but all have been common. Somebody else has gone through what you have gone through. There may be something in your life, in closing today, before we move on to communion, there may be something in your life right now that you need to unload. And if you need to unload it, then unload it. Get yourself back true to the Word of God, and don't allow your mind to wander and see the temptation that the adversary is providing for you, so you will not sin. Amen? Father, we just come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the Word. Wow, it's powerful, and it's awesome. Lord, help us to be stronger in you, stronger in our walk, stronger in the Spirit, and stronger and connected to the Word of God. And Father, I pray that as we move towards a time of communion, I pray that you will bless it to each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.